put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Gotta get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
There's really nothing to it.
Absolutely nothing to it.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
You gotta get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Do it, England, do it.
Come on, England.
It'll go to penalties, and we're on the verge of what could only be a coup de grace, perhaps almost the penultimate moment. The tournament's winding down. My name's Mark Webster, and alongside me, two gentlemen are prepared to look back, not necessarily with anger. I'll go anger, simply because that's clearly a phrase from literature.
Yeah.
And then you can pick some words yourselves amongst it. Alex Lowe.
Yes, I am angry.
Are you angry? Oh, you are angry.
I'll let you introduce him first, but come back to me because I'm bloody angry.
If you can retain the anger, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And Barry Casnola, nice to see you as well, sir.
I was angry because I'm half gone aim, but now I'm okay.
That makes perfect sense to me. I'm so pleased you put it in those terms. Okay then. So let's the A to Z of emotional feelings. Let's start with A for anger. Surely the dust has settled and you're not so upset no more, eh? Surely.
Well,
what's your problem, son?
My problem is that festooning my house, because I've got a six-year-old son who was just showing a bit of interest in football. I bought the wall chart, match attacks, cards. I've got an England... He's got England sort of pyjamas. He's got an England, you know, football kit. He's got the away kit. He's got the lot. And I feel I've been made in the A to Z of fury. I've been made to feel an M. A mug. About the whole thing. I've been mugged off.
Oh.
I mean, basically, you know... I mean, to be fair, he's interested in all the accoutrements... But less the football, which is
terrible.
Just as well, because we didn't play a great deal of it.
I'm going to jump now because I don't like this listing. I'm going to say, the zeitgeist of it all.
I'll go straight to Z.
Because I'm fed up with this whole this alphabetical thing. But Barry, when you look at it, I mean, you know, do you feel? Let's take the game. Let's take the Germans putting the Argentinians to rest. Is that context for you for our dismal failure?
Well, I mean, it makes us feel a little bit better in that we realise we're not quite as crap as we thought, because the Argentinians look like a good team and plenty of people were tipping them for the final, if not to win it. Having said that, firstly, I think Germany are a fantastic team, and I genuinely hope they go on and win it now. I really do. I think they've lit up the tournament. I think they've been the best team, the most attacking team. I mean, I like the Dutch as well, and I like the Spanish, but the Spanish quite often they ponce around, they pass it around, but there isn't a lot of
comfort. Yeah, who needs all that passing their ball around stuff when there's a football game to be had?
Yeah, but they don't pass it around in the right area sometimes. This is, you know, they've got David Villa,
like
who's been fantastic.
We
can't pass the ball.
Say what you like about the Germans. They did just bang it straight down the middle, didn't they? Beat our two central defenders. Who wants to muck about with passing? But I take your point. Yes, they are slightly more flowery than the old Germans, the Spanish.
Yeah, but also with the Germans, they're clear. They're devastating. Their counter attacking is absolutely fantastic. I think, you know, they have something like 14 shots on goal in the England and the Argentina game, and they scored from 8 of those 14. Yeah. I mean, they're clinical.
They've got the lot. How about, though, in relation to getting taught a lesson? Did we get taught a lesson? Did Argentina get taught a lesson? Did the Dutch teach Uruguay a lesson and therefore make them not as good as they were? How do you feel about the standard of the team that has got through? As we're sitting here, you know, naked... Well, come on.
I thought we'd do it any other way.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no point, you know, in them hiring this sauna for us if we're not going to sit here
right.
Naked.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're sitting. No, we're three blokes here sitting here with no clothes on. You know, everything's exposed.
Yeah.
We all know each other
better than
we probably even know family.
Yeah,
right.
You know, we've explored each other. We've studied each other. Right. So now that I've kind of gone... So now that I've made that point, I'm slightly worried. My thing is, like, for example, where I'm going here, Alex...
I know what your thing is.
I was worried that Uruguay won last night. And I'll tell you for why. I think, and I've got nothing against them as a team, you know, in quotes. it would have made this tournament feel inferior because I don't think they're a particularly good football team. I think they're what they were, a good unit that did well in the 3 weeks that they were around.
Yeah.
But we need. I felt that football needed the Dutch to win.
Yeah, I mean, I feel also, arguably, the keeper should have saved that one from Forlan last night.
That's a big ask.
I mean, there's a lot of talk about the balls all moving in the air and all the rest of it. But also, they would have been out as well had the bloke not handled it on the line. You know, they were lucky on a couple of occasions to get through.
So, in other words, Uruguay sneaking that one through would have been a somewhat of a travesty for the tournament in your...
Yeah, I think that they got lucky a couple of times. And, you know, you only have to be lucky, like the IRA, once to get through.
I
was coining a phrase. I couldn't remember where it's from. It was the IRA.
Was that? That was what tournament was that?
That was 74. That was 74.
Italia 90, wasn't it?
They hated the Dutch.
I can't remember now. You're absolutely right. But
to be honest, most of the IRA aren't actually Irish.
Like the Ghanaians.
Barry, that's football for you.
Yeah. No, I mean, I just thought, I mean, this is a slightly different point, but just that, I was kind of glad that Uruguay didn't get in, just because I don't think they're that great, and the bloke handled it on the line, and those poor Ghanaians.
I was scared of a Guai matchup. Para versus Ura. That was who was a Guai final? That had been wrong.
I think both of them, though, both of the Guais actually played well.
The two Guais
played better in their last two games. I thought that Uruguay last night actually were more attacking than they have been in the rest of the tournament. I thought it was a good game last night. I wanted Holland to go through, and I think justice was done because the incident in the Ghana game, there was a lovely sight last night towards the end of the game when they were running around. With the referee trying to claim a handball in the area, and he goes, "Don't you be doing that now?
No.
You've got no chance."
I'm not being dismissive of them, and there's an element of like something like when Greece won the European Championships is that you've got a bunch of fellas that no one really knows, but clearly they're a good unit and all that stuff. But frankly, them as one half of the World Cup final,
with all due respect, pluckiness only gets you so far. They're always described as plucky, aren't they?
That's an FA Cup. You know, that's Wimbledon winning. That's not going to light up the world stage, is it? Is the international version of Wimbledon making their way through? I'm not comfortable with that. I can't stand Iron Robin. Anyone else want to join in with this? I can't stand the geezer's driving me mad.
He looks too old.
This is just
he's
bold.
He looks old.
I have in front of the Evening Standard from the day that we're talking about this, which is obviously just prior to the second semi-final, and I circled the two digits 26. You are
unbelievable.
Having a laugh.
No. Unbelievable.
Really?
That's got to be
good
wrong,
God.
Isn't it?
And you don't see him smile very much. He looked like a different bloke. When he went off, started high-fiving everyone last week. Who's this?
How can he smile when you're grimacing quite as much as that particular individual does?
No, but, I mean, he scored that goal. But you know what? I mean, there were a couple straight after that which were kind of poorly controlled in the box that he should have scored.
Yeah. But does he not go down like a squealing stuck pig
every four seconds.
Regardless of whether he's near the ball or indeed a footballer?
Rolling around. There's been a huge amount of that. And now, the trouble is now as well, when players do that, they forget that there's a camera on them. So when you see them have their little sneaky look up to see what's happened, they're caught every time.
But there's the even more annoying thing, because he is always being fouled. Because the slow motions actually back that up.
Yeah.
And yet I still want to punch him in the chops because he still behaves like a giant itinerant child. So actually he's right and I'm wrong. And yet I still can't stand him.
No, I don't like him. Don't like him at all.
No, I mean, you say what you like about the British game, and I'm sure everyone has said this before, but there's not a great deal of that falling over business. There was so much of that. It was nice to see, you know, a couple of yellow cards given for that. A little bit.
Mm.
But I would like to see more, you know, more yellow cards.
Simulation, yeah.
Yeah, oh, it's just kind of horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know.
But he did get his ankles clipped. But the problem was he let everybody know within a 5 mile radius that's exactly what had happened.
Yeah.
And yet he's still a good football player. We need to talk to Chelsea people and say, Did he get right on your tits when he was in your team?
I like to think
that, you know, even Chelsea fans, even, I'll use that phrase, Chelsea fans could actually be, could actually look at him and go like, do you know what, he's a right wrong un. But
he is, but do you know what, talking about the diving, last night, Uruguay, there was a couple of Van Bommel tackles and assaults, basically, yeah, on players where normally the Uruguayans would often go down, and it's been very stereotypically, but often go down like they'd be shot by a sniper.
No, the South Americans didn't behave in that class. In that South American way, God bless them, did they? I mean, and strangely enough, I've noticed that in the last few games, is that in games where you expected, and the Argentinians didn't do it either, there's some European teams who have got some moves. They've got their groove on in terms of, like, you know, implying fouls and waving of arms and gesticulating, which is extraordinarily Latin and South American. Mm. And yet, you know, there they are, you know, with their blondy hair and their bluey eyes, and they're doing exactly the same thing. That was very apparent in the Argentinian game, I thought.
Yeah,
with the Germans, they were much better at being the cynical cheaters, for want of a better word.
Yeah. I mean, the only player English player, I think, who's done that was fairly regular, on a regular basis. Michael Owen was always quite guilty of that.
Oh, he was a diver. He'd have a dive. Gerrard isn't averse to having a dive as well.
No. I mean,
What game was it when Gerrard threw himself at the centre half in the box? There was a European. Liverpool were out or they were losing, and he got a penalty, and he ran from 15 yards and charged into the fella, flayed his arms in the air.
I can't remember.
It was a woeful moment. But he got a pen. He got the penalty, didn't he?
That's right. Michael Owen was terrible for that. I mean, there was one occasion I was watching at home on Sky, and I got up to draw the curtains, and I nudged the telly, and Michael Owen fell over. That's a Frank Skinner from about 1998.
I've got to be honest with you. I thought when you actually said you touched the curtains and he fell over, I would have done it as well, actually. Let's be pretty honest. Right, so the Dutch arrive now as the finalists. Are they the Dutch that we kind of cherish from our childhood? Are they? Is this the total football Dutch? Is this a Johan Cruyff Dutch?
Well, I couldn't believe, I mean, God, maybe I'm a bit slow on the uptake, but I couldn't believe they hadn't been in the final since 1978.
Well, there you go.
I could not believe that.
Well, that's because they're so good at football. But it's if you'll pardon a personal reference, it's the West Ham theory on life.
Right.
It's we're so beautiful at the game, we don't win nothing.
Yeah.
and that's obviously what keeps us going.
No, but you're
day
right.
In, day out.
Maybe it's that thing that you kind of look back with rose-coloured spectacles, and you kind of imagine, or orange-coloured spectacles, and you sort of imagine they've always been there or thereabouts. But no, they haven't been since 78.
Well, you had the Cruyff, you got the Ruud Gullit era. Yep. You know, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, there's been some fantastic Dutch teams.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not messing here. I mean, they're the real deal in terms of player by player, system wise.
Absolutely, but there's it's almost become a cliche now of the Dutch. Everyone's talking about this time that the Dutch aren't imploding; they're not arguing amongst themselves. But what they are this time is they're more of a functional unit, and they've still got great players. I mean, Robin, as much as we don't like him, He's a good player, you know. Schneider for me.
And what about Wesley Schneider?
Oh, he's got to be him and Schweinsteiger has got to be the two best players in the tournament.
Wesley Schneider got knocked off by Real Madrid, didn't they? They sold him on, wins himself a Champions League medal, and this fella. Is this the nature of the way that football is? Is patently this bloke just simply fits the system that the Dutch have laid out for him, and indeed the new club side, because he was knocked out for no money, being considered a failure in Madrid, and there he is as a giant success story. It's always the argument, like, you know, you don't become a bad player overnight. Mm. Patently, that's true, isn't it?
He just plays the simple passes, and also he's got that mix of playing it simple or playing it really incisively. He's got, you know, he's got a bit of everything to his game, and he's up and down. And when you've got players as well like Kuyt, you know what I mean, who for me in this tournament, he's come alive. I mean,
Liverpool's 10 bob right winger who now suddenly looks like one of the most important footballers on the international stage.
He's been brilliant. I mean,
hasn't he?
His ears are a bit low.
They are low.
He's got really low ears.
However, he does actually, though, he's kept an extraordinarily old-fashioned haircut to try and match it up a bit. So he has the haircut that my dad had in 1974, which is somewhat depressing. But there you go. But if we do we like the Dutch way? Are we looking there? Because we used to look, you know, in the old days, we would look at, you know, in the way that kind of Brazil obviously offers that. Yeah. They're more exotic, but the Dutch were our European Brazil. Do you like the look of this team?
I do like the look of this team. It looks like they're playing as a unit in the way that we didn't. There's a good spirit in the camp, and maybe that's why people look better than you expect them to play. Maybe they're up, their confidence, you know, their confidence is flying. They're in the semi-final, they're in the final now, and, you know, it's a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy.
That why did the Dutch have hissy fit history on? And this is not a Dutch... That's
the most laid back, liberal.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, society. You know, yeah. Want some draw? Yeah, of course I do. You know,
but you give me licorice.
That's only half time. it's ridiculous what I just said there. I feel terrible about saying it. But it is weird because they actually came into the tournament, didn't they? With Van Persie telling his manager what the front three should be, and it didn't include, strangely enough, Dirk Kuyt. So, yep. Perhaps he's not so fussy about that now, though. So perhaps, of course, he bitched when he got brought off, didn't he, Van Persie, a couple of games ago. Yet they seem to be soldiering on, don't they, as a unit. They look the part, don't they?
Well, they had a little make-up high five, didn't they, as well, for the cameras, Snyder and Van Persie.
Is that what that was?
But yeah, I mean, they don't seem to be arguing. I mean, Wesley Snyder's a great player. Van Persie, is on his days a fantastic forward. But they haven't got that superstar. When you look at the teams that had the superstars, every one of them's gone out. You know, the big five forwards in this tournament. You know, your Kakas, Rooney, Drogba, Ronaldo, Messi. Two goals between all of them. They're gone. Yeah. They've all gone.
When it comes down to it, analysing this, you'll look back at this World Cup and say this was a team World Cup, not the superstar World Cup.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look at Germany. I mean, that's the thing with the Germans.
Of course, that's going to drive marketing people and advertising people mental, because they can't take that. You know, because so when I'm selling a deodorant, I've got 24 blokes up there, you know. Where's the pretty geezer who scores goals? You know, there's no use for anybody. At this point, the stage, I mean, it's all well and us having conjecture and indeed thought about this. But we need to put some maths to this. Mm. And in the small corner of our Bijou sauna.
Yeah.
Put a towel on, please, Mike. We're sitting down naked. Walking around naked is a completely different thing.
Is that a piercing?
Do you know, he actually keeps that in place by sheer thought alone. Mike.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Yes, for people who have listened to this before and you haven't already, you've got a free £20 bet you can claim by going to paddypower.com/World Cup. Some latest odds for you. Obviously, this is before the Spain-Germany game. Player of the tournament now, Schneider, is currently now favourite at 2-1. Veer out to 5-1. I'm sure that will change after today's game. More silly bets. This is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. Ronaldo's just had a baby. You know, have you read about this in the paper? Cristiano Ronaldo?
Indeed we have, yes.
You can get odds on his son, 25-1, that he plays for Portugal. That's a long way you've got to wait to get your money back, isn't it? 66-1, he plays for Man United. Ridiculous. Anyway,
that's worth a pound.
It's worth a pound, isn't it? Steven Gerrard and Fernando Torres, more and more money coming in, and they won't play for Liverpool again. 6-5 on, you can get the Torres will not be at Liverpool next season. 5-4 that Gerrard won't be at Liverpool next season. And the favourite club for him to go is Real Madrid at 11-8.
Wow. That's quite... That's inside the trading there, isn't it?
Absolutely. And also Torres, favourite to go to Chelsea. 13-5.
Yeah, wow. With Drogba.
Sorry?
Presumably that means that Torres and Drogba becomes the new 1-2, plus an Elka at Chelsea.
That'd be unbelievable, won't it? Yeah, that'd be unbelievable.
Well, sickening. Who needs that?
I think he's more likely to go to Chelsea than Man City, surely, because they're in the Champions League, obviously.
Although, of course, Roque Santa Cruz, who obviously, made that big money move to Man City and covered himself in glory, and had that and then come on as sub for Europe and had the sitter and chipped it in the goalkeeper's hands. He's got to be. How much was he worth? About 2 knicker. And he's a tall, good-looking boy with lovely, lovely black wavy hair. And rubbish. Isn't he?
Absolutely. So, anyway, check out again. Just go online, paddypower.com/World Cup, and sign up and get your free £20 bet. And obviously, after tonight's game, things will change around again. But if you haven't had your free bet yet, get on it.
And I should remind everyone, this is the penultimate episode, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I love the word penultimate because it's longer than the word ultimate, which is ridiculous because it's about something that's smaller.
So when is the next one? The last one will be on Sunday before or after the World Cup?
Well, I believe we'll be bringing the World Cup home, won't we? Exactly. It will be held aloft, because rumours have been spread around that it will actually be, the World Cup will be held aloft, will be the actual one, not the powdered one that went through customs recently. Yeah. Right.
What we need to do in terms of the bets is just basically go the opposite of whatever my granddad. My granddad's never called me so much. My granddad's 84 years old, and he calls me up, and every single game he predicts, he's been absolutely wrong every single time.
He's like an octopus in reverse.
He's unbelievable.
Your granddad's a reverse octopus.
He's phoning me up. He's going, I'm telling you, them Argies, they're going to stuff the Germans. They're going to absolutely stuff. And he gets everyone's name. He watches the games and then talks to me and gets the pronunciations. Schweinsteiger. I'm going, you've been watching the game, you've been listening to the commentator.
Schweinsteiger.
He's got everything. I like everything he gets wrong.
I like Schweinsteiger, though. Point, that's a great name.
He thinks Vuvuzela's up front for Uruguay. It's a nightmare. Yeah. He gets everything wrong.
The funny thing is, my old gran, who is 89 years old, has been phoning me up, and she was disgusted with England, but she wouldn't hear a word says against Rooney. I think he was fucking her till 2 or 3 years
ago. But,
hey! No, that's awful.
What, and then he got a bit old for her? It's a lovely thought. I must say, I can't not think about the football without calling it the jambalaya, codfish pie, filly gumbo. See, I think I used to know the name of what the football was called, but now it's just turned into that song. Yeah. The Carpenters, I believe.
Tonight I'm going to see my Michelle Amelia.
There you go.
I know it, yeah.
Beautiful moment. If you want to get in touch with us, and there's still time, because this is only the penultimate one, which obviously is a word that's longer than, but implies it's not quite the end of what we're doing here at It'll Go Penalty. Get all the links to Facebook group, Twitter, and iTunes at worldcuppodcast.com. World Cup Podcast faxed, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Ivory Coast star Eboué learnt Korean whilst hosting their TV game show Go Happy Mongoose Pants.
No.
You laugh like it's not true. Lionel Messi failed a trial at Swindon Town.
Absolute balls.
That's true.
It's feasible.
It was when John Gorman was in charge. No.
What would he know? Yeah, exactly. It's a very good point. Closer has scored all 14 goals from inside the box, 7 from headers.
That's true.
All of the West Germany goals, yeah.
Really?
That is true.
Bloody hell.
Don't look at me quizzically. Of course it's not true, Alex.
Is it not? I thought that was true.
14 goals, son.
Sorry, 14 goals.
I'm actually using maths here to give us some level of normality.
Say it again. Go on.
You were so certain you said, now that is true.
I really thought it was.
let me just use some salient words from that sentence. Yeah, go on. Good for you. Closer.
Yeah.
West Germany.
Yeah.
14 goals.
Which is, yeah, he scored.
All of him.
Yeah.
7 from headers. You're still comfortable with this, are you?
All right, yeah. I just realised.
Yeah, I've got.
Well, of course you just realised.
Amazing thing is, you know the North Koreans, they put
not all of them, but
they put their early success in the tournament down to a great diet. It's the dog's bollocks, apparently.
Hey, good boy. Thank you for that. Now, before we go any further, it's probably very wise at this stage because it is the penultimate episode. And we're not here for the ultimate episode, so therefore, no one's going to talk about Stan Bowles otherwise.
Oh, lovely.
This is our ultimate.
Do you know what? If we had a jingle there which went Stanley Bowles, 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 we'd have played that jingle.
Yeah, we would.
Jesus Christ.
If we did have, it would be great.
I was only today discussing the merits of one Stanley Bowles, and amongst us, we have a man don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Who holds Stanley Bowles very closely to his heart.
Very much so, yeah. Well, my uncle was the sort of deputy chairman for Jim Gregory at QPR years ago, and I was a mascot the most fantastic day of my life, September the 22nd, 1979, against West Ham
United. Do you remember the date? Oh, you do? Oh, sorry,
September the 22nd.
Sorry, you said it. Yeah.
The clue's in the date.
Yeah.
Against West Ham. 3-0, Tony Curry, a 30-yard blast to finish it off.
Better than your wedding day.
But, yeah, I mean... Well, if you take
it would be, except he married Tony Curry. So in a weird way, it's almost like probably level, isn't it?
Yeah, second
one of those very early civil ceremonies.
It's a toss up between that and my kids being born. But running out onto the pitch, picking up some balls that were the game was sponsored by Comet Warehouse. Booted the balls into the crowd. It was just the most magical.
Who held
time
your hand? Did
Stanley Bowles?
He held your hand. And you walked out.
That's right. Yeah.
Did he look down at you and say anything?
He's got a very croaky sort of voice. All right.
Because he's a mank, isn't he, by trade?
Yeah.
Which is strange because he spent his entire life in West London. And he's not got the accent particularly, is he, at all?
I don't know whether he has now, has he? I mean, you know people around Brentford who know him.
Well, obviously, I know people in Brentford, yeah. Why, you got some problems, really?
No, no.
Because I could make a phone call.
No,
no. Would that help?
But,
I don't mind doing it.
But, you know,
in fact, I'd love to do it. Anyway.
Whenever I get really pissed up and the wife has gone to bed, I get the internet on. And
hold on.
There are various things.
There
are various things I look up. The obvious, but secondly, I do like the old conspiracy theories with the old Twin Towers.
Yes.
Ghosts on YouTube. It's one of my favourites. And the other one is any old QPR footage from the 70s featuring Stan Bowles, because there's an awful lot out there. And there's all that kind of big match footage and all that stuff. And so, yeah, Stan is one of my absolute
heroes.
And
you not one out of that?
Oh, no.
Now, the good... But not until about half past 7 in the morning. It takes a while, you know, get yourself in the spirit.
Yeah.
Stan Bowles. Now, this is strange. I used to live around that way, right? I used to live in the Brentford/Isleworth area. Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't even give me a medal, though.
Right,
go on. And yet, strangely. And as a direct result of living in that area, and a direct result of having just bought me council house, my wife, in her infinite wisdom, decided that we should best make it look a bit better than it used to look.
Yeah.
So we went to Brentford Super Tiles. I don't mind giving them a plug. And so I'm in Brentford Super Tiles with the good lady wife, and obviously I'm riveted. The variations on the tile theme that were there were manifold. You know, as far as the eye could see, frankly. And, you know, so quite how, in my peripheral vision, something caught my eye. And what it was a man in a green Brentford Super Tile sweatshirt.
Oh, no, don't upset me.
Behind the counter.
No.
And I thought, there's a bone. Then he went past my peripheral vision again. And do you know what? I said to my missus, I said, that looks like Stan Bowles.
Oh,
and
God.
She said, I'm holding two tiles up, pick a poxy tile.
Yeah, yeah.
So clearly she wasn't that interested in my whole... So we ended up at the counter. I don't know if we bought anything that day or not, or just made financial inquiries.
And Jerry Francis bleeped it through.
No,
go on, what happened?
But we walked up the counter, and Bob's your uncle, because behind behind the desk there was loads of QPR pictures. And the fella who owns Brentford Super Tiles, 0208, 734, I don't know, was a QPR benefactor, and Stan, because he had nothing better to do, was there making tea.
Oh, no.
Like doing work experience.
Almost in the...
Oh, God.
Well, with a free sweatshirt,
fair. You got something out.
Oh, no.
No, Stan was basically just kind of like...
How depressing.
It kept him out of the bookies, apparently, which is always a good thing. But with all due respect to him, I saw him afterwards. I interviewed him a few times for work, and this is a man comfortable in his own skin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he still lives around that area, and he's as a direct result, Stanley Bowles, one of the finest football players, I believe, to grace a football pitch.
Yeah, yeah, quite right.
And we were trying to work out which England manager picked him, didn't he?
Don Revy.
Was it Revy? That doesn't make... Because Don Revy only picks lumpen arses,
well, he didn't play many
was
matches.
Was it Joe Mercer when he was caretaker?
Oh, no, I'm sure it was Revy. Must have been Revy.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I don't know.
There's a,
there's a question.
There's a thought to float out there, isn't it?
And what tiles are you getting in?
Do you know, I don't know. Do you know, that would be the perfect... I could ring the wife, couldn't I? And do you know what? She'd remember, wouldn't she?
Yeah,
she actually would remember. She said, not the white, you mug, the off-white.
Very quickly, I...
Sorry, you played under Ramsey, Mercer and
Ramsey. Excuse me, Mike, over, Mike from Paddy Power Corner, IT... So, who was it?
He played under Ramsey, Mercer and Revy.
Ramsey, Mercer and Revy. He played under three managers. How many caps did he get?
Now you're pushing.
Okay, we'll get back to that. But the glory days, of course, that was the he got five caps. But of course, Rodney Marsh, Tony Curry, I mean,
that's right.
Jerry Francis. What a football
Dave
team!
Dave Clement. Mm. But this is what I heard about Stan recently, and I hope this isn't accurate, but I might be. Anyway, look, I'll say it anyway. My uncle told me that the latest is at QPR, Stan used to be paid sort of £100, whatever, on match day to go up and down the executive boxes, greeting people, showing them the tile, catalogue, making the tea, though.
Two sugars? Lovely.
Betting on the drips going down the window, which would arrive. Anyway, And apparently, the QPR, the Italian chairman and all that kind of lot recently went in there, stopped that. Saving cash, balancing the books. They stopped a legend going, and all those kind of executive blokes of a certain age would remember him. Yeah. And Stan was, they stopped him doing it. They took away
They've done that at West Ham as well, haven't they?
Tony Cotty, I think, has gone away. Yeah. And it's tragic. I mean, I think the Arsenal do a good job with that. I think Charlie George still goes and does his thing. And you want more of that. Yeah, I want to see them players knocking about, don't you?
Absolutely.
That's the way it should be. I also, just before we part company here, gents, I think Richard Harris's son runs one of the pubs on the corner of Brentford's ground. Or it's someone like Richard Harris, really? Might be another big drinking English actor.
Well,
okay,
could be me.
It might be O'Toole. Could be O'Toole, might be Harris. Can't tell you, but he looks exactly like whichever one's son he is.
Well, I'm going to go to each one of those four pubs and find out.
Yeah. Get back to me.
I will.
Fill me in.
It's a lovely anecdote.
Gents, before the penultimate episode becomes, I'm guessing, the ultimate episode, which is when we stop, I'm looking for... Yes, exactly that. Yeah. I'd like you... given the fact that Spain-Germany hasn't happened, have we got the best team of the tournament in our heads? Let's call it that. Who's the best team of the tournament rather than World Cup winners? Because we're a bit previous.
I would say Germany, for me, are the best team in the tournament. Because let's not forget, they did actually lose a match against Serbia.
Yeah, true that.
So they came bouncing back from that. Frankly, we didn't come bouncing back from the Rob Green moment onwards. We never came back. So good luck to Germany, because not only have they been brilliant, they managed to pick themselves up and get back into it.
Germany, okay, from Alex. Barry?
I'm going to have to go Germany as well. I think they're a fantastic team, and I think, again, they're playing as a unit. They've got that nice mix of experience and a lot of youth in there. You know, they've got, four under-21 players. Klose has just been banging them in. He's one away now from the record. And they've scored four goals in three different games. Sorry to be all statty here, but first time since 1970, true. Since Brazil done that. And they played great attack. They don't stop. We were in the 82nd, 83rd minute against Slovenia, we're running down the clock against Slovenia after, and they're playing for 3-4 goals. You know,
we're in control of that. Yeah, and closer. I mean, what a
the worst celebration with all
yeah, but what a 10 bob centre forward. I mean, what I like about him is that in theory he's their Emil Heskey, in the sense that he's this workaday individual who's not got a goal in about 19 years in league football, and yet he just stands there looking at the sky going, "Oh, stars." The ball hits him, 1-0. I mean, it's what a life.
To be fair, I mean, he scored 14 goals. Now, some people have said that...
seven of them headers, you fool.
Well, he scored five in 2002, which were all headers in 2002.
Yes.
And a lot of people said, that a lot of it's been against inferior opposition, such as like Saudi Arabia and England. But the thing is...
Oh, he did tell... Actually, that made sense in the same breath.
But he's the celebration, though, is the worst. Not only does he do that somersault that he doesn't get quite enough spring to the somersault, but also afterwards he does that awful thing where he makes his finger and his thumb.
What's the zero about? What is that? What
yeah,
is
the zero, but it's almost like he's almost so geeky he's going to go, ja, ich bin Skill McGill. Yeah. You know, he's got no, he's just like the most geekiest celebration I've ever seen.
Do you
seen.
Know what? If he actually he put his finger through it, yeah. That would be the most tragic.
Yeah,
wakiest celebration. But
it's one we haven't seen yet.
But by jingo, he's earned the right, though, hasn't he?
He has.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, let's go and put us. We're going to watch finals. We're going to watch the actual final. You've made your mind
up? No, I haven't decided yet. Actually,
there's people out there with bated breath waiting. Yeah. Over.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I'll be watching it where I've watched all the matches in my living room with the kids running around, smacking me with swords, trying to turn it over, wanting to go out. So I might be able to catch a glimpse of a tiny corner of the screen.
Get your sons in Germany pajamas.
Yeah. It sounds like, surely, Barry, that sounds like the festival you're going to. Where you're going to smack with swords.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. What kind of festival would that be? I don't know.
It's a sword smacking festival, basically.
You're doing that again?
It's the Suffolk sword smacking festival.
I'm sure you use all your best sword smacking material, aren't you?
I did it last year. I don't know. I'm running out.
I'm sure you are. Yeah. Anyone working in not too distant future?
We're working together, aren't we, Barry?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. How could that happen?
We're doing the Barry from Watford comedy show at the Watford Palace Theatre on July the 15th.
Can I just express a lack of imagination there in terms of location? Because I'm with you all the way on the name.
But Watford.
But move away from bloody Watford. You know, give yourself a chance, boys.
Well, the Watford Palace Theatre is a massive kind of Victorian theatre. It's a great place. We've got Peter Serafinowicz is coming along, and so... It's not selling this to you at all in any way. You're looking at me like I'm mad.
I hate the fact that you're Barry from Watford and you're doing it in Watford. I want to say, you know, unless, of course, you just change your name to Stevenage when you go to Stevenage. And then Dartford.
Cost a fortune in posters.
I won't go with a bunch of boring names, but, you know, I think you're the point I'm making it.
Well, there's a bit of a home crowd will come and see it, hopefully.
Well, listen, gents, take them to the cleaners.
We will do.
We will
good
do.
Boys. Welcome, and then goodbye to the penultimate episode of Go to Penalties. Good night.
Good night.
Get all the links for It'll Go to Penalties at worldcuppodcast.com and get your free £20 bet at paddypower.com/worldcup. Good luck.